You're all set.
I call to order the Madison Plains Board of Education meeting. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinnikus?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Ms. Reinfeldt?
Here.
Mr. Stonerod?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Stand for the pledge of allegiance. Do we have anybody? No? Okay. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Start off public communication. We don't have anybody that signed up. Anybody want to say anything tonight? Okay. Then we will move into board work session. I do have a couple of thank yous that I would like to extend to folks this evening. Starting off, I would like to thank our parents, our guardians, and our students for their patience and understanding the past several months. We know that virtual learning, hybrid model, they were both challenging for everybody. So we understood the stress the folks went through. We heard from many of you and we appreciate the feedback, but I wanted to say thank you for supporting us and helping us put a plan together to bring our students back safely into our classrooms full time. So that was very nice of you to be patient with us. Secondly, I want to thank the administration, our teachers, there's many here and I hope I don't forget anybody. Our office managers, bus drivers, aides, everybody within the four walls of our campus here. Again, they also had to go through the same thing that we all went through, and they were very patient and understanding with us, but they were also a very critical part of putting a safe plan to return to our classrooms full time. And I want to thank them for that. Thank you very much. It's greatly appreciated, and the thank yous are on behalf of the board up here. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
With that, we will move into approval of board minutes.
Madam President, I move that the minutes of the February 16th, 2021 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Ms. Reinfeldt?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerod?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikus?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. We move to student recognition, please.
Madam President, the first group of people that I would like to call up this evening for student recognition are the students who were in the spelling bee. And Ms. Grigsby, I believe, is here to introduce those students.
Yes, I am.
There she is.
Hello.
Hi.
On March 2nd, we were able to participate in the traditional Madison County Spelling Bee. It was a bit different this year, being with all of our COVID regulations, and there were less participants than normal because the schools were limited, which meant we had to be more selective here prior to sending students to the Bee. We sent 12 students in grades 5 through 8 to the Madison County Spelling Bee, and we had a couple of winners from our district at the County Spelling Bee that I'd like to recognize tonight. The first person is Mr. Andy Wood. Andy won the 7th grade written contest for the Madison County Spelling Bee.
Good job.
And the second person is Sydney Madden. Sydney is also a 7th grader. She won the 7th grade oral round, and she was also a overall runner-up for the Madison County Spelling Bee.
Nice.
Congratulations to you. Well done. And just, I know she is heading out, but I just want to say thank you to Ms. Grigsby for all the hard work that she put in. There was a tremendous amount of effort to get all this done, and she headed up both the local bee here, and she also headed up the county bee over at Toles. Did a fantastic job. Both events were very well run, and just did a wonderful job. So I don't know if she can hear me, but Ms. Grigsby, okay, thank you.
Thank
you so much, Ms. Grigsby. Well done, thank you. And congratulations to our students as well. Great work.
Thank you.
I believe the next group of people who are here are our FFA students.
First off, how lucky am I to be able to show off everyone in here, these well-dressed young men and women and their cloaks and official dress. So we have earned two banners this year to hang in our ag room, and that's what I would like to recognize. The first is the Green Hand Quiz, and it is designed to increase the basic knowledge of students about their organization and its operation. Additionally, it keeps members current with the happenings in their organization, and it is an incentive to participate in a competency-based activity. The Career Development Event, which we often call CDEs, is very competitive at the state and national level. And last year, this is amazing, Madison Plains took second place in the state out of 153 schools.
Great.
Wow.
Great. Even more impressive, our top four students were made up of the team as follow as Lindsay Call, who placed fifth in the state individually. Laura Sampson placed seventh individually. Molly Barber's not with us tonight, but she placed 60th individually, and Jason Johnston placed 69th individually.
Good
job. So these students were TARP preparing for the contest by taking detailed notes in the classroom, taking a green hand testing class, and studying outside the classroom, and their coach for that CDE was Miss Ballant, who's also with us.
Congratulations to Miss Ballant as well.
And then our other banner that we won is the NEAT Evaluation and Technology CDE, and it is designed to teach students to be knowledgeable consumers of meat and meat animal products and or involved in the industry of meat animal marketing and merchandising. Additionally, students develop the abilities to evaluate meat animal products in order to optimize economic returns to producers and industry, as well as to meet the needs of consumers. Madison Plains took second in the state of Ohio out of 16 schools. By placing second in the state, they earned a travel stipend to travel to the National Western Stock Show in Denver, Colorado to represent Ohio FFA. But due to COVID-19, that was canceled this year. The team was comprised of Mackenzie Dixon, who took second in the state individually, Molly Barber, who again placed seventh individually in the state, Lucas Stevenson, who placed 16th individually, and Kanan Kelly placed 18th individually. And these students were coached by our own Miss Michelle Hillebrandt with after school practices. And I believe you guys also took trips to look at hanging meets and things. So, big congratulations. Banners and FFA are a big deal, and we are proud to hang them. And they also got their names embroidered on their banners. So.
Nice. Congratulations to all of the students who were involved with earning these banners. That is a wonderful and amazing accomplishment. Thank you to Ms. Ballant and Ms. Hildebrandt for all of their hard work in preparing those of you who were part of those. And Ms. Berger, thank you for presenting. Appreciate it. Well done, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I do believe that is all of the student achievement that I am aware of for this evening. So for those, if that is all we have, I'm not aware of others, everyone else is free to go if you would like. You're welcome to stay, but if you want to go, you can.
Wow.
Can't imagine why.
Tough crowd.
All right, moving to employee recognition.
Well, tonight, Mr. Musty and I, we were of a like mind, and we wanted to recognize Central Administrative Office staff member, Ms. Sarah Kurt. Sarah is unable to be with us this evening, but Sarah, for about the last year, Sarah has been pulling double duty in the Central Administrative Office. Covering not only her position, but the position of somebody else who has been dealing with what I'll just refer to for right now as life issues. And Sarah is a tireless worker. She is so, so smart and will just do anything that is needed. She is a team player and just really is incredibly dedicated to the district and just goes above and beyond to do what is necessary. And again, works very long hours and just knows so much about so many things. And so Mr. Mustine and I, and he is welcome to jump in here, but we were both of a like mind and we wanted to recognize her this month. We are hopeful that this time of double duty will soon be ending. So,
yeah, I'll just add there real quick. Even if it wasn't for the double duty, Sarah's an employee that is indispensable for our district. The number one thing I would say that comes to mind with her is that she's always placing the kids first, and she always has them at heart in everything that she does, which is great for our kids here at Madison Plains. She works at home when she's not here. She's like Patty Beery, one of our previous honorees, somebody that touches a lot of different areas of the district, from EMIS to curriculum to technology to accounting and receiving. So she does an awful lot for the district, and I'm thankful to have her be able to do that double duty, because honestly, not too many people could pull it off. So she stepped up, and we did feel it was a good time to honor her service, because hopefully that service, as far as double duty goes, has come to an end here real soon. But unfortunately, she was a little under the weather for tonight. She planned on being here. But I told her we'd still talk nice about her, even if she wasn't. So hopefully she's watching at home. But I just thank her for all her service.
We have a certificate here for her, so we will see that she gets that tomorrow.
Great. Thank you. All right, moving to department reports.
Madam President, Madam Vice President, members of the board, we have our technology person with us this evening. His name is Mr. Pierce Lavangi, and Pierce is going to come up and share with us a little bit about what has been happening in the technology realm here in the Madison Plains Local School District. Thank you, Mr. Lavangi, for being here this evening. We greatly appreciate it. The floor is yours.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'd like to go over mostly just a few of the bigger projects that we've had to do this year. And those three projects would be the Chromebook deployment, the outdoor wireless project, and the staff laptop refresh. It's been a wild year, just like it has been for everyone else. There's plenty more that's been done, but these are the three favorite things that I'd like to talk about tonight. With the Chromebook deployment, we had ordered 600 Chromebooks, and we received them in February. 400 were deployed to the 712 building, 200 were deployed here to K6. That brought the device count to 480 devices to 1,080 devices district-wide. This also brings the student-to-device ratio much closer to 1-to-1 than the previous 1-to-3. The cost, there's a breakdown here, it totaled to $168,486. All of it was covered by CARES Act funding and other grants. You can see the breakdown here with the chart. The outdoor wireless project, that allows for connectivity to the wireless network from the parking lots, the stadium, and the sports field like baseball and softball. The physical installation was completed on March 4th. The project is still underway and should be completed within the coming days. That cost a total to $72,844.88. This was all paid for by Broadband Ohio grants. And next we have the staff technology. The staff laptops, they were in need of upgrades, definitely. And with this year especially, it was important. Half of the staff technology was 7 years old, the other half was six. This was, of course, needed now that we have Google Meets, we have Zoom meetings. Multitasking is becoming very important. And those old laptops, they become very hard to repair once they get old like that. At first, it may be a keyboard or a screen. It then becomes more severe components. And so with multitasking and these Google Meets becoming more prevalent, more processing power is required. And so this was very beneficial. I did have one come in. I'm very happy with it, and I assume the staff will be too. The cost for these, $82,904.93. This was also paid for by Broadband Ohio grants. And that's all I have as far as these three projects go. But if there's any questions for me.
Just kind of add to what Pierce said regarding the Broadband Ohio grants, what allowed us to pay for that wireless project and for those devices. The wireless project was to expand the Wi-Fi out into our parking lots, so our students and parents have access to the Wi-Fi after hours, even in the district if they need it. You can drive onto our parking lots, access that Wi-Fi, and be able to get online. The other thing is the staff devices. We were able to pay for that with Broadband Ohio grants because we had to, and we did, load them with cell service. So they have a term of cell service that's been paid for on those devices that allow them then to be used remotely, which is really important now with the remote learning that we've done in the district and that we could have to do in the district at a future date. So we were really fortunate to be able to use those funds to meet a lot of the needs of Pierce and the technology department and the needs here in the district. Because one thing he doesn't say is all those 6 and 7 year old devices, he's the one person in charge of repairing all of those and keeping them up and running. So hopefully it's kind of lightened his load after this mad dash of new devices, which has also been a stress on him, I'm sure, having to roll all those out. Yeah. But hopefully it gets a little easier moving forward once he gets them all out.
Should be.
But Pierce has done a great job getting those out in the district and getting us ready to roll. And it's been great to be able to use those funds the way that we did.
Do we have a question? Do we have a replacement timeline for when those have to be replaced, like laptops, you know? Are they are that every 3 year cycle? Did we have those?
So that is something we need to implement, is a replacement cycle similar to what we're doing with, say, our bus fleet, where we try to replace 2 buses every year, similar to what we try to do with our landscape equipment, where we're trying to turn those over every 5 to 6 years. So the remote devices, staff devices, student devices, those will have to be on a cycle.
Yep.
And so as we meet and discuss PI funds and the spending of those funds, those need to take some priority there in how we use those funds, because that's where we'll ideally pull the funds from.
They're not in there now?
Well, this is the first batch, no, yes.
So the replacement, yeah.
Yes,
okay.
So we're starting fresh.
Good.
Right? So we'll be able to turn over, say, 20% of our fleet a year, hopefully. So you see the total cost, you know, we were at $160,000 for student devices,
right,
and what, another $82,000 for staff devices. So you're at $250,000.
Right.
So 20% of that, you know, is around $50,000 a year that we're going to have to try and allocate out of our $350,000 in PI funds to go towards our staff devices. And again, we have roughly, you know, $180,000 going towards buses. Now we've got $50,000 going towards staff devices. So that $350,000 for that PI fund is crucial to the district and pays for all of our upkeep and maintenance for equipment replacement, including buses and technology. So.
Thank you. That's great.
Good job.
I'd just add, I wouldn't want to have that job. I've repaired some 7 year old computers. Yeah. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Moving to superintendent committee reports, please.
Madam President, we do not have any committee reports this evening.
We have one.
One.
Well, I'm sorry.
The only one here is our finance committee report that is for the sole purpose of reviewing our audit, which I'll speak to in my treasurer's report. So.
Okay.
My apologies.
Moving to the treasurer's report, Mr. Mustaine.
All right. Thank you. This is Anitra's. Okay. First thing I have are the financial statements. Just point out a couple quick hitters here on financial statements. Again, we're 3% ahead on our revenue collections. That's largely due to the income tax that continues to come in. We continue to strive to reach to that full collection this year, so we should achieve full collection. Now, it is at a somewhat reduced rate, likely because of COVID, but we still should see a full collection this year. So that's largely why our revenues are up. From an expenditure standpoint, we're maintaining that trend of a 1% annual increase or less on our expenditure history. So that's where we're at this month as well. Through the month of February, we're at a 1% increase. Our cash position, we ended the month of February with $2.3 million. And we are expecting to hit our estimate there at the end of the year and finish better than we have in 3 years prior. So we're continuing to improve our district position, and that's what we're going to strive to continue to do and maintain that improved district position from a financial standpoint. We have started getting our property tax collections in for our advances. We got some of them in February. We received the rest of them in March. So you'll be able to see the full impact of that come next month's meeting on our property tax collections. Any questions on the financial reports? Okay. Got a lot more information for you, so. Okay, our audit results. Our audit was completed quite some time ago, but again, it takes time for it to get through the certification process and to get released. And so now it has been certified and released, and it is available for public inspection. And so now I'm able to present it publicly, and I will do that here. It's 80 pages long. I'll start with page one.
Super.
No, you know, Perry and Associates completed our audit. We're out, we have been quote unquote farmed out again this year to an independent audit firm. We were with the state for the previous 2 years and received our auditor estate awards for both of those years. Coming back to Perry, they had completed our audit before. They did a great job this year. They get in, they get out, and we had no problems. I'll go ahead and go to the last page here, which summarizes all of the results of the audit, and quickly go through them here. The type of financial statement opinion is unmodified. That's what you want to see. Were there any material weaknesses in internal control? No. Were there any significant deficiencies in internal control? No. Was there any reported material non-compliance? No. Were there any material weaknesses in internal control for federal programs? No. Were there any significant deficiencies in internal control for federal programs? No. The type of major programs compliance opinion, same as our overall financial statement opinion, unmodified. Are there any reportable findings? No. The major programs that were tested was our child nutrition cluster. That's our federal lunch and breakfast funding that we receive. Our dollar threshold for that program, we received greater than $750,000, so that's why that was tested. Are we a low-risk auditee? Yes, we are. And then any findings related to the financial statements required to be reported, there were none. And any findings for federal awards, there were none. So a clean audit with nothing negative to speak of.
So. Awesome.
Ideally, we get our third Auditor of State Award because of this, third in a row. That would be great and fairly unprecedented in our district. So we'll try to continue the trend with that. So any questions regarding the audit results?
Will it be posted to our website now?
Yeah, we do have a link for that, or we will.
Yes.
Another question. I just want to say how much I appreciate how hard you and your staff work to accomplish that. You know, definitely the expectation. I know myself, I'm sure the rest of it. But you know, I know it's a lot of hard work that goes into getting it there.
I appreciate it. And I appreciate that. And I'll pass those thanks along to everybody else that made this happen in the district, from Sherry Allen and Food Service for programs audited, to my office staff, to the building principals and athletic director, and everybody else who handles funds in the district in one form or another. Everybody doing the right thing and makes my life easy. So we all do a really good job here in the district. So.
Good job.
Thank you.
Next, one item of note here, I have a transfer. It's a it's really a distribution of unused funds. It's within the 200 fund, but it's from one class fund to another. So the exiting class of 2020 has distributed their unused funds to the class of 2021. So that's all that is here. That's the form filled out by the advisor. The amount was $2,122.42. Wow. Now, the district financial update. So I have a presentation for you here. And I told Mr. Eisler I was going to stay on script, so I didn't take up too much time, because it is a little bit lengthy, but it covers a lot. So I'm going to go through that here. I'll use the PowerPoint version of it.
It's only 51 pages.
It's only 51 slides.
Slides, I'm sorry.
Okay.
A all quick right. read.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a quick read. I demoed it for Mr. Eisler today. He didn't complain too much.
Okay.
All right, so financial facts, March 16th, that's today. District funding update, revenue, the funds flowing into the district. Currently for 2021 general fund, we have $15,827,511 estimated to be collected in the general fund. I wanted to start off with that large number, because as we start to talk about other numbers that appear to be very large as well, I think it's important to keep it in comparison and in perspective, what it takes to run this district, the total funds coming in and the total funds going out. So our revenue there, $15 million. Despite our best efforts, we saw a decrease in our state funding received from the state of Ohio. In 2020, MP state funding was cut $342,619. That's a 7% decrease. That's the largest percentage cut of all Madison County and surrounding districts, and double the 3% state average. The $342,619 state funding reduction was further maintained in 2021. This was revenue previously expected to be received by Madison Plains. Recently, the state finalized the reduction amount for 2021, thereby restoring approximately $187,906 of lost funding to Madison Plains. So of that $342,000 they cut, they gave $187,000 back for 2021. While an improvement, this still left us with an overall two-year reduction of $497,332 in previously expected state foundation funding. We also estimate a $100,000 reduction, or a 5% reduction, in previously expected income tax collections as a result of pandemic income reductions. Now that's a small estimate. It could be larger. Just for perspective, we had our enterprise zone meeting for our tax incentive review. The income that was reported under that agreement for KEEN was reduced by around $3 million. So they saw about a 30% reduction in the income for that they paid their employees for that agreement. So that's 30%. Now, I don't think it's going to be 30% across our district, because a lot of our industry is not as pandemic affected with the agricultural industry in our district and the income generated there. And not everybody that works at KEEN, of course, lives in our school district. So right now we're going with a 5% reduction. Again, we haven't reached full collection yet on our income tax. So we don't know what our topped out number is for us. We have an estimate of around $2 million. So it could be somewhere within that range. But either way, we should see some kind of a decrease based on our estimates due to the pandemic. Also, we received our new tax rates and property value from the county auditor. That was the tax amounts and rates that you all just approved not too long ago, showing a 13% decrease in agricultural values due to CAUV reform for 2021. So if you remember, in 2015, amounts skyrocketed, and then efforts have been made at the legislative level to reduce that down to a more reasonable amount, but it has caused a decrease. This decrease in agricultural property value has resulted in a $50,000 decrease in estimated property tax collections. Federal funding was received that was required to be used for previously unbudgeted expenses related to the pandemic. This is our ESSER funds, CARES Act dollars, that type of funding. Madison Plains purchased items related to remote learning, PPE, cleaning supplies and equipment, et cetera, with these federal restricted funds. You recall what Pierce said, we purchased a lot of those with CARES Act dollars. That's why it was to address the remote learning needs in the district. As these were previously unbudgeted costs, this funding did not improve the overall financial condition of the district. What it did do was to lessen the negative financial impact of the pandemic to the district's general operating fund. Governor DeWine's proposed budget suggests Madison Plains received no increase in general state foundation funding in FY22 and FY23. So that would remain frozen at FY19 rates. Governor DeWine's proposed budget also suggests a $257,850 increase in restricted fund 467 student wellness and success funds in FY22, and an additional $89,440 increase in restricted fund 467 student wellness and success funds in fiscal year 23. Student wellness and success funds are restricted and have been used at Madison Plains to pay for nursing, counseling, and psychologist services. Potential uses of the increased funding in restricted funding include student remediation as a result of lost time in the classroom due to the pandemic. Again, those decisions haven't been made yet at the district level, but those are some suggested uses by the governors and the governor's administration on how those funds be used. Increases in restricted state funding combined with flat unrestricted state funding results in an overall 5% estimated increase in FY22 and a 1.7% estimated increase in FY23. So again, all of those increases though are tied to restricted funding. Our unrestricted funding is flat. Confounding state revenue estimates is the possible passage of the Fair School Funding Plan, which changes district state funding calculations. So what's confounding about it, it makes it hard to estimate how it's going to affect, you know, the impact to Madison Plains. If it goes down the path of fair school funding, or if it goes down the path of the governor's proposed budget, or there is even a competing plan out there in the legislature that could gain traction. We just don't know. And the budget does not have to be signed into law until June 30th. So kind of going to wait and see. To expenses. Expenses, the funds flowing out of the district. Again, the total number it takes to operate our district out of the general fund is $15,454,616. Over 80% of that goes to salaries and benefits alone. So a very small percentage goes to supplies, and another percentage goes towards paying for the open enrolled students out to other districts as well. We have proven our ability as a district to keep costs down over a sustained period of time. This is evidenced by our five-year average annual district rate of 0.74%. That's less than 1% annual increase in expenditures. This low district rate is despite the five-year average annual U.S. inflation rate of 1.96% annually over the same period of time. That's one-third the United States national average annual increase in inflation for a period of 5 years. While achieving this low increase in expenditures, we have had successful negotiations with both union associations, including OPSI and MPEA. These negotiations have kept the district competitive and innovative in the area. And ultimately, these successful negotiations have benefited our most valuable stakeholders, our students. These benefits are evidenced by our comparably high student achievement in Madison County and the surrounding area. So, based on our current five-year forecast, we project an ending cash balance with no solar farm revenue and no income tax renewal at $1.62 million in the red for 2024 and a negative $5.86 million in the red for 2025. So those are years 4 and 5 of our forecast currently. This demonstrates and supports what we have said all along since the earned income tax was originally passed in 2018, which is the earned income tax would generate approximately $2 million annually and maintain district operations for 5 years, fiscal year 2019 through fiscal year 2023, at which time the income tax would need to be renewed and additional revenue realized to maintain district operations beyond that 5-year period of time. The solar farm revenue has the potential to be a very large portion of the need for additional revenue realized. However, it does not replace the need for the earned income tax renewal. The potential benefits of the solar farms for Madison Plains from a revenue perspective are considerable. The first solar farm has potential to generate up to $1,132 annually, and the GeneX solar farm has potential to generate $2,896,895 annually at full capacity. The potential revenue generated by the solar farms would come at zero cost to taxpayers in the district. Potential solar farm revenue is not in the forecast due to the uncertainty of if or when any revenue might be received. There is a lot that has to occur in order for the potential revenue of these projects to be realized. State board approval, electricity contracts sold, political and legal challenges resolved, and construction ultimately completed. These projects have already been delayed by years since initial estimates were received. Losing either the solar farm revenue or income tax revenue would drive the district towards a deficit and could be catastrophic. So, with no solar farm revenue and no income tax renewal, you see our balances for 2024 and 2025, which we stated earlier, and even projecting out to 2026, so 1 year outside of our 5-year forecast, we're looking at a negative $10.75 million in the red. Now, no solar farm revenue, but we do renew the income tax. You're $551,686 in the red in 2024, $2.5 million in the red in 2025, and $5.24 million in 2026. Again, that just demonstrates that the income tax was only meant to keep us in the black through 2023. It would not keep us in the black through 2024 and thereafter. If we were to receive solar farm revenue, but no income tax renewal, it might let us get by for 2024 and 2025 with a positive balance of $1.94 million in 2024 and $950,000 in 2025. But you see, we're right back to where we started in 2026 with a negative $747,246 in the red. Ideally, solar farm revenue is realized and the income tax renewal is realized, and we end up with a $3.35 million ending balance in 2024, $5.21 million in 2025, and $6.46 million in 2026. That is why both of these revenue streams are so vitally important to the district. Renewing the earned income tax May 4th, 2021 will not increase current taxes in the district. All it does is extend the term. The income tax has been essential to maintaining district operations since it was originally passed in 2018. I highlighted almost every financial report that the income tax is doing its job. It's what's keeping us where we are, and it has really, really has been essential. So both of those things are very important to the district moving forward. Anybody have any questions on that financial update or anything that I can add to or clarify?
No, I think it's very good to summarize it like this. It's very simple. Will this also be up on your website, the funded finance?
It'll be part of the board agenda, board docs, if you go through our agenda, and then I can also put it on our website.
I think that would be good to easier access for folks to access the information. No, this is very good. Thank you.
With that, that concludes my financial report, my treasurer's report.
Madam President, go ahead.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items I-6 and I-7.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonecrop?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, we now move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Madam President. I will turn my microphone on. Thank you, Madam President. Good evening, everyone. It is good to be with you. Thank you for taking the time to be here this evening. I want to talk a little bit, just in terms of some discussion items, about our COVID pandemic situation report and the current learning model that we are in. On March 1st, we were able to bring back all of our Option 1 students in grades 7 through 12. So we now have all of our Option 1 students in school 5 days a week in grades K through 12. Of course, the K through 6 students were here a little bit before the 7 through 12 students. But as of March 1, everybody was back in who wanted to be here. So we are grateful for that. And I would echo Mrs. Zanikas's comments at the beginning. We do thank all of our parents and our guardians for their understanding, their patience, and their flexibility. And we do thank the staff as well for all of the efforts that they have made to make this a successful transition back in and keeping everybody as safe as we can throughout the school year. I do want to make a note here at the board meeting tonight. I have mentioned this before, but I do want to say this again. Our margins with regard to transportation are incredibly thin. And so if there are any community members out there who would be interested in learning how to drive a school bus, be that somebody who drives on a day-to-day basis or somebody who would be willing to work as a substitute, if those community members would please reach out to the transportation department. Our transportation supervisor, Ms. Kim Rogers, would be happy to speak with you. And we would be happy to get you signed up and get you to start training, provided you can pass a background check and those types of things. So we would very much appreciate that. One of the other things that I wanted to mention is that our substitute teacher margins are also very thin. And in the last month or so, the state has given permission to school districts to temporarily adopt measures which would allow people who do not have a four-year degree to be able to become substitute teachers. And so last month at our regular February meeting, we passed a resolution that was identical to the one the Madison-Champaign Educational Service Center had also approved. And basically our resolution stated that if someone had an associate's degree and had been out of high school for at least, had graduated from high school more than 2 years ago, as long as they could pass a background check, they could sign up to be a substitute teacher. And so if there are community members in our community who would be interested in that, I would encourage them to call the Madison-Champaign Educational Service Center. They could speak with a lady there by the name of Heather Burris, or if they wanted to call our central office and if they wanted to speak with us, we could get them pointed in the right direction. But the margins are extremely thin, and it does, my hope is that it won't be a problem, but I also, I do, if there are folks out there who would be interested in doing these jobs, we would greatly appreciate it if they would give us a call. It would help us tremendously to be able to have a little bit of margin there in case something were to happen. This Friday will be a remote learning day. Our staff who have opted to get the vaccine will get their second dose. So that is this coming Friday. And to be able to allow that to happen, so that the process goes smoothly. We will be having a remote learning day for all students in grades K through 12 this coming Friday, March 19th. So that is something that is important to note. We do have some, we are looking forward. Last year, a lot of the traditional year-end events that we normally do, we were not able to. This year, we are going to be able to do that, it certainly appears. We are, the governor's office last week on Thursday said that they would issue guidance this week sometime on some of these events that we would typically have. And so we are waiting for that guidance to come out so that we can read through that and then make appropriate decisions in terms of what our events will look like. But what we can tell you is that prom is currently scheduled for Saturday, April 24th at Wren Farms in Mechanicsburg. So we are looking forward to that. The Scholastic Banquet, which is traditionally held on Thursday evening the week before graduation, is currently scheduled for Thursday, May 20th in the evening. And then finally, graduation is currently scheduled for Friday evening, May 28th, 2021 at 7 o'clock p.m. And we are discussing the possibility of having that ceremony outside of the football stadium, weather permitting. What we are talking about doing as well then is developing a contingency plan that should weather not cooperate, graduation would still be on Friday evening, it would just be in the gym. Now I do, and as I had noted for the community, our parents and guardians who received my messenger calls, these events are likely to look different this year given the pandemic. There is a very strong likelihood that we will have reduced capacities, and we will obviously still be following the other safety and health protocols that school districts have had to comply with throughout the year. But we are very excited about the possibility of being able to have these events, even though they will look a little bit different. So we will be in touch. We have been talking to some other school districts to find out some of the things that they are also thinking about, so that when the guideline or the guidance does come out, we can make some decisions relatively quickly. So there's a little bit of groupthink going on here, and that's always helpful. But we are looking forward to these traditional year-end events. Summer school, and I know in some of the slides that Mr. Mustein talked about, there is some funding to be able, from the state in terms of remediation for students. And so we are looking at trying to offer a little bit more of a robust summer school program than what we perhaps might normally do. We are anticipating sending something out to our staff in the coming days to gauge their interest in being willing to do something. We are looking at something that will be a few weeks long, probably 3 weeks, about a half a day. At least for the vast majority of it, there are some things that we're double checking on. But we are looking forward to doing this. We realize that because of the effect that the pandemic has had on K through 12 schools, we do recognize that there are some gaps that have been created, and in all honesty, some rather large gaps in all likelihood. And so we are looking to do what we can to try to help bolster those gaps. And so we will be in touch with our community in the coming days to use some of these funds that are coming from the government that Mr. Mustein talked about to be able to pay for our summer school program. The next thing that I would like to talk about, I believe Mr. Mustein is going to display what the levy language is going to look at or look like on the ballot. And so I wanted to take a minute and talk about this. Mr. Mustein did an excellent job of giving us the numbers. I wanted, from our five-year forecast and what our outlook looks like, I wanted to run through the language that will be on the ballot here just to make sure that our community is clear about what it is that we are asking for on the May 4th ballot.
There we go. What about that?
That's okay.
And then again, this is the ballot approved for the entire county, so
you've got a lot to
scan through until we get to, in fact, we'll just do this. There we go.
Okay. So as you can see, It says proposed income tax renewal. And I think that is very important because we want to emphasize that this is not a new tax. This is a renewal. And it says proposed income tax renewal, Madison Plains Local School District. A majority affirmative vote is necessary for passage. And it says, shall an income tax of 1.25% on the earned income of individuals residing in the school district be imposed on the Madison Plains Local School District to renew an income tax expiring at the end of 2023 for 10 years beginning January 1st, 2024 for the purpose of current expenses. And so the 1.25% is the exact same percentage that we currently have in place that the voters graciously approved in 2018. The only difference between this and what is currently in place is that, as Mr. Mustine mentioned, is the term. We are looking to put this on for 10 years for the purpose of not having to ask our voters to go back to the ballot box any sooner than would be necessary so that we can stabilize district finances. That is all that the purpose of this is. And so we are in need of this. When the income tax, as Mr. Mustine mentioned, was passed in 2018, we said that it was for 5 years. It would carry us through FY23, and it will do that. What it will not do is get us through FY24, fiscal year 24. And so this earned income tax renewal is necessary. And so, we obviously will begin. I have a levy committee meeting that is coming up on Thursday evening. It will be our first levy committee meeting, and our community should begin to expect to see some communication coming out of the school district on a regular basis about the need that we have so that they are well informed of what that is by the time Tuesday, May 4th gets here. So it is something that is important. And I do want to emphasize, as Mr. Mustine pointed out too, I know that there is talk in the school district about the potential for the solar farms, but those solar farms are not a done deal. They still have to get final approval at the state level, and there are political challenges and things with those. So we cannot count on that. They are not a for sure thing. But we do know that we are going to have students going to school here, and we need to be able to educate them. And so this earned income tax is a very important piece of stabilizing district finances. And so, like I said, we will be communicating with our communities about this more as the weeks go by here as we lead up to May 4th. From today, we have 7 weeks. It is 7 weeks [S2] Wow. [S1] Until the election, so not quite 2 months. But it is close. So, but the time will go very, very quickly. So, Madam President, Madam Vice President, members of the board, that is all I have this evening in terms of discussion points.
Okay. Moving to policy and governance.
Madam President, there are no items in policy and governance this evening.
And we will move into business, please.
So just some routine items here. We have most of them are relatively routine. But we do have a contract for an educational aide. There are two service contracts with the Miami Valley Educational Computer Association. One is our E-rate agreement for our Wi-Fi and internet service. The other is for a wireless broker agreement. This is an addendum to an agreement that the board approved in August. It is in addition, this is for the 97 staff laptop devices that we have purchased. That is the addition to the agreement that you approved back in August. There was a resolution before the board tonight to bring our grade 7 through 12 students back. So I'm asking the board to approve that. There is a first reading of job descriptions for our OPC staff members. And then also a first reading of OPC evaluation forms. And then we have a first, final reading, the only reading, of the Madison Plains High School course description guide. So those items L2 through L8 are what is on the consent agenda tonight, and then we will have a separate vote for L9 for the approval of the CARES Act subgrant agreements and addendum.
Who would like to make the motion?
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items L2 through L8.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stenrock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reintraub?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the attached CARES Act subgrant agreements with Union Township, Paint Township, and Madison County, including addendums, retroactive to the date of signing each agreement, if applicable, for the receipt and expenditure of CARES Act funds as presented.
Second. Discussion?
Yeah, this is money that's already been appropriated by the board, passed as amended appropriations. We just felt it was best to have the board approve these agreements as well. So we have all of them here for you to approve.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Ms. Reintraub?
Yes.
Mr. Stenrock?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Abstain.
Motion carries 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to personnel.
Forgive me, I'm just a minute behind here.
Oh. I was going to start.
You skipped the reading on the OC.
Did I skip?
Yeah, that was part of the first one that you read, L2 through L8. I think there was just some.
There's a separate thing on here for you.
Mr. Stonerock, I think what happened when that language was carried over, copied over from the last time this was done from an old agenda, it was copied over, the vote was not removed. I apologize for that. So, but that is what happened. But
that
it would have been a great catch, or it was a great catch.
had to take my fog glasses off.
You are correct. Those do appear that way, but they were approved with the motion that you made.
That's so. Fine. Yeah, and you see that now.
Okay. And again, my apologies. So, Madam President, Madam Vice President, a few business items before you this evening. An employment contract for a person who will be working as a custodian for us, and then some routine supplemental contracts.
Okay. Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items M2 through M3.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Stenrock?
Yes.
Ms. Reintraub?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, moving to donations.
Madam President, we have one donation on the agenda tonight. There is an anonymous donation in the amount of $57,716.57. From the Columbus Foundation.
It's through the Columbus Foundation, not necessarily from the Columbus Foundation. The Columbus Foundation processes a lot of these of requests.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Is it generated towards our school district specifically, or was it broadly across a bunch of districts?
This is a donation for us specifically. It's anonymous and unrestricted.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you to the anonymous
Thank you.
Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donation.
Second.
Discussion?
We haven't appropriated those funds as of yet either because there's still some discussion as to how those might be best used to end this.
Sure.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reintraub?
Yes.
Mr. Stenrock?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Very good. No new items, and we do not have an executive session. So a reminder that our next meeting is scheduled for April 20th at 7 p.m. in this room.
President, I move that we adjourn.
Second. Time, please.
8:01.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Steinrock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Bradshaw?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're adjourned.
Thank you all. Have a nice evening.
I had to look at that clock twice.
Yeah, it's fine.